Ask the Podcast Coach for May 14th, 2016.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Hey, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I guess it makes me the podcast coach. Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me back after being on assignment last week, the one and only, you know him and you love him, you just want to give him a big squeeze, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Good to be back on Ask the Podcast Coach, and good to be here.
Yeah, we should probably quickly mention the elephant in the room. I want to say thank you to everybody who's been waiting. Blab was not my friend at all this morning. I actually ended up having to reboot. And so thanks for everyone's patience.
You said, because I was listening to you, you were live on Mixler. So I was listening to you kind of go through the whole deal. And you said, maybe you should get to Blab 15 minutes earlier. And that would be my recommendation, actually, is starting these things super early.
Yeah.
Just in case you have that kind of trouble.
Yeah, because usually it's like, and then I show up and people want the show. And I'm like, no, I'm just here in case Blab doesn't work. You know, in case I have to reboot 15 times. And
well, we always start ours, the live podcast, even, you know, we use Google Hangouts for that. I start the live stream of 10 minutes early, and I always come on and say, you know, you've got the live unedited edition of Home Gadget Geeks. We're in pre-show or about 10 minutes before. If you caught this on YouTube, because people will catch that live feed, you know, later, you know, hang on, or you can fast forward 10 minutes. We just give them some instructions just so they kind of know. And then that way you can kind of banter in the pre-show. That works out pretty well.
Yeah. You get the, and you might be able to get some questions ahead of time. So there were some things. And here's the question that I always try to have one, maybe that's we can just toss out there to /Q no longer works. Wonderful. That's good to know.
It doesn't do anything. Colon.
Yeah. Except I copied the wrong thing. Here's the answer. How long does it take to grow your audience? I saw this a couple times now in different Facebook groups. It's like, I've been doing this X amount of time. In one case, it was one person that had been doing it for a year. And then somebody else had been doing it for 6 months. And it was all about, should I quit? And so the question kind of is, how long does it take to build an audience?
As long as it takes?
Yeah. My question I was asked them is, A, why did you get into podcasting? Because that's, if you don't know that. And so if it's to, in this case, the person that stopped by my chat and asked this was they wanted to kind of build an audience. They wanted to connect with a younger demographic. And I'm like, okay. So then I said, well, how do you know if your podcast is successful? Like, how are you gauging if it's working or not? And they were basically just going by numbers. And I'm like, okay. Well, at the end of your show, like, what's your call to action? Are you calling people to download and subscribe? And they were kind of like, no, not really. And I'm like, okay. And then I finally said, you know, what's your website? And I went over, and then now this was a show that was based on technology in a local city. So it's not Cleveland, but we'll just say Cleveland. So it was like Cleveland entrepreneur technical kind of stuff. And the name of the show did not have the name of the city in it. And I went, there's part of your problem. Because it was it might as well have been called Let's Name a Podcast. It was super generic. I don't want to out the person. And I went, there's part of your problem. I said, because, you know, nobody's looking for your cute little inside baseball name. And that's probably why. But I know Gary Vaynerchuk, in his new book, Ask Gary V, talks about when he started Wine. What was the name of his show? Wine Library, I think it was. He did that whole wine show, and it was this huge thing on YouTube. And he said it for years. He was like doing a YouTube video for nobody. Mm-hmm. And he says it took him years before. Now it's like, you know, everything the guy touch, it turns to gold. He says, but there's
he's hot right now. Good God, he is hot. Yeah. I mean, he is working the circuit pretty hard.
So, but
You know, there's some questions, you know, there's some statements in chat, like define, build an audience. What, you know, what is that? And I think it is when you jump in there, you kind of have to set some numbers. I think I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. We at Gallup have some numbers, some very specific numbers that we shoot for. And we kind of keep them, you know, we look at our audience size or our potential audience size and look at the market that we're kind of in and then set some numbers and just say, yeah, these are the numbers we want to achieve. And I find those numbers, whether you're a numbers guy or not, good or bad, I find those numbers each month when we look at the stats and then we kind of look at the numbers, kind of keeps you going. Kind of like, oh, okay, we got a little ways to go. We had a goal of 10,000 audio downloads in a month. That was one of our goals to get that. And we hit that last month and we all celebrated. Woohoo! What does that mean? I don't know. I mean, we have a whole bunch of shows and, you know, month over month, it's going to grow. But from a team perspective, that helped us kind of keep our eye on the ball. It was kind of that metric, right? We watch hits to the blog, right, every month. And the coach's blog does between 23 and 25,000 hits every month, that and quarter of a million a year, something like that. And we'd like it to be 30 consistently. That's just one of those things. So it's for us, it's just a number to kind of work towards and to kind of hit. Because at the end of the day, you kind of drive yourself crazy looking at those stats if you haven't set or defined some kind of metric or some kind of goal to hit and get it. And so you yourself, I think everybody's got it. You know, you just alluded to this. You've got to, why am I podcasting to begin with? And then what do I want to achieve out of this? But I think at the end of the day, it's a good idea to set some numbers goals and say, let's hit this thing. When 3 years ago, we opened the Twitter account, the @StrengthsFinder Twitter account, it had 600 people when I took it over. And I remember that summer, we were like, let's get it to 1,000. We thought that was a big deal, you know, 1,000 followers. Let's do that. Well, we worked for the summer and tried to do some things to get it to, you know, to increase. Well, now that accounts at 23,000, right?
Nice.
And well, we went from 1,000, then the 10,000 was the goal, and now it's 23,000. That's what it's at. Now 100,000 is our goal. But it's for me, it's fun to have those goals there so you can kind of mark the progress, right? So you can kind of say, yeah, are we making progress? Are we not making progress? They don't define you, but they do kind of define some of the work that you do.
Yeah. And then here's the last question. Are you having fun doing it? Case in point, it's been a while since I've done a Clamorcast. And I've mentioned how when I started that show, the whole point was going to be they send me a list. I work a little Microsoft Magic Mojo and it spits out links to everything that I can easily click. I do that show live. And over the months that I've been doing that off and on, I've added more things just because I'm, you know, hey, it'd be cool to have, you know, somebody say number 12, number 11. So I've got Mike over at Music Radio Creative. And so that's another thing I now have to click. And then they change the way they're like clamors now go on to the next clamor. You can't just play one, which means I'm going to do editing because there's out of 20, somebody's going to jump to the next one before I hit stop. And the other thing, I finally went to Dave over at Clamor, and I'm not anti-clamor anymore. I'm just, it's like, am I getting anything out of this podcast? And I have had a few people that have come to the School of Podcasting, or at least they now know me. I don't know if they've joined the School of Podcasting from that show. And I asked Dave, I said, hey, you know, we haven't done one in a while. Send me over a list and I'll do it. And there's a voice in my head that's kind of like time to make the donuts. Because one of the fun things about that show is I have no idea what I'm going to get. And the last couple of shows, I'm kind of like, you know, so it's like, and also the numbers when it first came out, because Clamor was hot, I had a pretty good jump. And then, of course, I got divorced and that kind of took over a lot of priorities. And so I didn't do a show for a while, and now I'm pushing the ball back up the hill, and I don't have that passion that I. So I'm gonna if I do this next episode, and I at the end of that go, there are other things I'd rather do. And
yeah, time to end season one.
Yeah,
you know, this is the finale. Dave, does Clamor do any advertising for you for that podcast? Are they included in the newsletter?
I think they do. They used to, at least. I know there are always, you know, doing some things like that. So,
I didn't hear you. Yes. Are they are? Or
kind
no, they
of. Aren't. Yeah. As far as I know, I think they put are. On their Facebook. I don't think if they have a newsletter, I'd never get one.
Cause that would be the motivation for this is if they had if you were starting this podcast in a company like Clamor, if they're willing to send an announcement or an email or whatever out to their audience.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, they have thousands of listeners on Clamor, right? And so the power of that, I think, the reason to do a podcast like that, we started one with Silicon Prairie News here in the Midwest. And my thought behind that is I can take advantage. I can get in front of a mailing list, an audience that I would normally not have access to.
Right.
And actually, that kind of worked. I mean, the numbers didn't rocket. Hit the Silicon Prairie News numbers are not gigantic, but it did put me in front of another audience. The, you know, we did a conference. We did conference interviews in partnership with Silicon Prairie News. I created the videos. They created the articles. They posted it on their site with my videos. It was this great partnership, right? And I didn't pimp out the averageguy.tv on those, but we did. I mean, there were some links and some stuff. And of course, it's part of my job at Gallup. So it was a really good, we had Gallup branding everywhere. And it was really good cross-promotional stuff. So if you're thinking of doing those and getting out of your current circle, those oftentimes partnering with someone. Emily and James from Classy Little Podcast are coming on my show this Thursday.
Nice.
And we're going to do Cheers to Gadgets. And so we're taking their format a little bit, mixing it into my show, and then we're going to kind of combine the podcast together. That's a good way of kind of getting in front of an audience, maybe that would. And in this case, we're kind of cross-branding. So it would, and I'm excited about it because they have a great format, and I really like what they're doing over there. So we're excited about there's some, not just interviewing on someone's show, but we're actually going to take on their format or their persona a little bit. We may not swear as much as they do, but we're going to take on their persona and bring it in. So that's another way of kind of, you know, reaching out, growing that audience.
And
we got a bunch of questions.
I'm going to say I've been copying and pasting them. I'm going to take this one first because it's from Craig from Inglés Podcast. So that's, if you want your question first, send me a t-shirt. Says, what's your opinion on paying for Facebook ads or Google AdWords to get your podcast in front of a potential audience? Well, the cool thing is, I don't know about you, it seems like everybody and their brother wants to give me a card for $50 of Google AdWords every time I sneeze. It's like, here's another card. Please come use Google AdWords. He said, I just broke my desk. It's kind of fun. I pulled the drawer out and it's in the process of, hold on.
Once you start on that, by the way, those cards will stop. Once you redeem one of those cards, stop. Yeah.
I will say this. I've spent a lot of time this week going through Facebook ad stuff. I actually joined a membership site and went through this. It's insane the detail you can get. So in terms of getting an audience, I guess if you have the budget, it's like anything else. Because I'm going to probably try a couple here, if not this weekend, next weekend. It's one of those things, I think, like anything else, you kind of want to go in with your eyes open. I don't know that I would wing it with Facebook ads because it also looks like you could easily spend a lot of money here and get absolutely nothing for it. Have you ever played with Facebook ads?
Yeah, I've done ads. I think it is, if that's, you want to grow, that is absolutely a strategy. If you've got some money to throw at Twitter and Facebook and do it right, there's absolutely space there. I mean, Facebook ads right now are hot. And if you can get in there and get them done right and target your audience and what they're looking for. And if you got the right message, I mean, that's not going to work for everybody. I'm not one of those guys that's going to sell you like Facebook ads work for everybody. They're going to work for some people. Listen, if you have a community podcast and what do you say? Two guys in a brain.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a lot of advertising that's going to, unless you're really funny. I don't know if there's a lot of advertising that's going to help you, but if you have a relevant, you know, in a space that people would look on Facebook and go, oh, I wonder what that's about. And you build that advertising in a way that would grab people. I think it's absolutely the way to grow your audience. It's not Gary Vee. I mean, that's what he's doing right now. I mean, he is just crushing it with that stuff. He was out there and then he kind of died down and he created all this stuff and then bam, he just went nuts and he is spending money. I've said this a ton of times before. The big companies are big companies because they spend money on advertising. Coca-Cola does not have word of mouth advertising, right? Yeah. They are on every billboard. They buy out every sign they can. You've got to get your stuff in front of people's eyes if that's what you want to do. So you want to grow, you got to pay for it. Word of mouth will get you only so far in growth.
Yeah.
The rest of it has to be bought.
Next week's School of Podcasting, I have examples of stuff that I went, oh man, I can't wait to tell somebody about this. And if you have something, like what was the last thing you told somebody about that you went, oh, did you hear this? And it's all about just wow kind of content. Another great question we have here. I have a slight delay between my voice speaking and hearing myself in the earphones. I use VMAX, VMix.
VMix.
VMix. That's probably a typo.
Yeah, it's a typo.
Is this an adjustment in vMix or is it the computer? I don't use vMix. I usually, in cases like that, like right now, I'm listening through the headphones of the mixer, because by the time it goes to the computer and then out through the earbuds, you're going to have that kind of Godzilla effect where your voice and your mouth just don't line up and it looks really weird. I know
it's hard it's hard to do that, isn't it? You kind of have to fake it. Two words, Mike Howard, by the way, he's the vMix. He is a vMix expert. He is JPEG to RAW here in the chat room. I know he's listening. He's just working while he's listening. Then there's great community forums around vMix. I don't know if that's a problem that can be, the troubleshooting can go on here in this podcast, but it's probably has to do it. Not probably. It could have to do with the amount of horsepower vMix takes. And it consumes them on the GPU. And if you're underpowering it, so you might want to take a look at the power that you're throwing at it. If you're trying to do video and your PCs are underpowered, you shouldn't be doing video. You need to spend a little money. Your graphics card, your GPU means everything. And it's going to be more and more important here in the future. And you're going to need to spend the future of PC anyways, is the GPUs are as expensive as the CPUs. And so, we're talking 2 and 3 and 4 gig GPUs that software takes advantage of to render all this stuff out. And so, I mean, there are GPUs, the graphics cards, that are $500, $600, $700. And you go, wow, that's just the card.
Yeah, I know there. So, in certain software, you can adjust for that delay. I've never been able to get that to work. I know I was using, I think it was the Blue Icicle. It's a USB interface to plug an XLR microphone into that. And I always had a weird delay and I just went, life's too short. Moving on to the next piece.
Yeah, Mike Phillips has got some good suggestions in the chat room there about some things to check for. So that should be good.
Yeah, he says, if you're listening live, he says he's probably using the listen feature, which goes through the computer and will always have a delay. Yeah, and it's weird because I like to hear myself. I mean, I could take off my headphones and I can hear myself now, but for some reason, I like to hear myself in my headphones and go that route.
Well, it's good. I think it's good practice to listen to your mic and know what it sounds like when you are, because if you're over, if you've got too much bass or too much treble, or if it's struggling, or you've got an effects turned on, I think it's good that you're listening live to what you're doing with your voice.
Here's a cool question. This says, I'm going to my first two niche conferences this summer. I might have a table for one of them. I'd love advice on what I could do for a setup. Well, first things first, get a hot booth babe. Just completely hot with her dress cut down to here and up to there. That usually seems
shorts are popular these days.
Yeah. I would have, if I was going to let's say I was doing a booth for Ask the Podcast Coach, I would have a flyer that explained with screenshots how to subscribe to the show. That would be one, because if I'm there to get listeners, that would be one. And maybe another one that would explain what the show is. I would have either a banner for the front, but if I had the budget, I'd have a big thing in the back, to do that. And Jim, thoughts? What else? Maybe.
Yeah, certainly giveaways that have your website, for folks who are coming by, for Gallup, we do this, at trade shows. So mm-hmm. For the two trade shows, spring and fall here in Omaha, we set up a table. And then at the end of the table, I actually set up a recording booth, two microphones, I bring lights for two purposes. One, you need them because usually you're in a dark area and that, these C920s don't pick up that color of light too. That's in a convention center isn't great. So I bring some lights. The other thing lights do is they just really make your booth go bam. Like people come in and they're like, whoa, hey, there's, somebody with lights. Everybody walks by and looks. And so we invite the session keynote and session leaders for that conference to come and interview at our booth. And so I get some great podcasting material. I get people to interview. I'm actually podcasting during the conference. We do a live page for it. I've been sponsored, so the concert or the conference knows we're doing it. We call it bonus content for the, for the conference. This year we partnered with Silicon Prairie News, which is an organization that's a news organization here in the Midwest that focuses on startups. So there's tons of things you can do and just get creative with it, that it's more than just who shows up at your booth. You can actually got great content while you're there. You can get, great exposure. Dave, we have those pull up, you know, the yeah, you know,
the banner,
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The banners. Thank you. That I put in the background. So it's branded. You can, in the video, you see it. I don't spend a lot of time when we're doing the interviews there. I don't spend a lot of time, you know, saying who I am or doing calls to action. I don't think those are very appropriate there in that setting. We're creating kind of bonus content for the conference. So those are some of the things I've done, and they've worked pretty well.
A lot of great suggestions from the chat room. Chocolates are always good to have on the table. That'll bring people over because they're starving. They are at a trade show. Usually the people are starving. Another one, depending on the size of the booth, carpet. I know I would go around because if like at what was the last? Usually if it's a big trade show, people's feet hurt. And I've been to ones where I'll go stand in the booth because they had plush carpeting just to get my feet off of something. If you have a way to sign up for your newsletter list, most AWeber's, MailChimp, they have something there. And you could say, hey, sign up for the newsletter and we're going to give you more free chocolate or something, whatever like that. But
some of those conferences will give you the ability, like when they come by the booth, they've all got it all set up so you can capture people automatically that come by the booth. So that's a good way. Always kind of ask if they've got that available to capture those email addresses as people come by.
Yeah. So, but it's the cool thing is I like to hear that you're going where your audience is. And that's where I was talking to somebody about that same guy that was like, I think I'm ready to hang it up. I'm like, are you going where your audience is? Like, well, we use Facebook and Twitter. I'm like, you know, that's great. But in the long run, if you really want to get people talking, there's no better connection than face to face.
I spoke at an event just last night called Wine and Code, and it's a technology. It's just some folks here in town that get together. It's sponsored. A company sponsors the wine and cheese, and then they take donations. So it's $10 to attend, and those donations go towards programs that promote women in coding, which is really cool, right? We need to have more ladies out there doing software development, and so this is awesome, getting young girls involved in this. And I spoke about our high school program. And at the same time, I also said, hey, I have a tech podcast. And I bring both my Gallup card and my AverageGuy.tv card along with me. You never know. There was 9 people there. It wasn't a very big group. But you never know who you're going to hit there, that you may be hitting the right person in a community that has influence. And then they begin promoting.
That's it.
We had the experience happen just in our own business. Some guy who just wrote a book, who's got about 300,000 followers on Twitter, he just tweeted his top 5. And Dave, within an hour, there was like 85 people who had tweeted their top 5 in response to his. And that was a viral moment, right? I mean, that from a business standpoint, that's kind of what you're looking for. So you never know when you're going to hit that influencer, even though they say don't go after the influencers. You never know when you're going to hit one. And it's going to be Michael Hyatt's done the same thing for us. We have a vendor that sells these mugs that have the top 5 on it. And the guy who created them sent one to Michael Hyatt, and Michael Hyatt posted that on his Twitter account, and that thing went crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so that can happen too. If you can, you know, get it to the right person.
Have I ever dropped the band t-shirt story here? I feel like I've told this a million times. My band played a place called Vinetta's, and everyone will forget it because it was the ultimate dive. They had just opened up and we played to 6 people and there were 7 people in the band. Okay. And that's counting the bartenders. But there was one table there and they really liked us and they stayed there all night. At the end of the night, they came up and they said, we want you to play, you know, Harold's birthday party. Awesome. Great. So we go to Harold's birthday party. And I think at the time it was this huge backyard party. Harold was extremely wealthy, threw this huge party and bought every single t-shirt we had. Like we had like 105 shirts at $10 a piece. We walked out of there going, who's going to carry the money? Cause I don't want to get robbed kind of thing. And Harry or Harold or whatever his name was, everybody was drunk and they just bought everything we had. So, you know, you'd never know.
No, you don't. You don't.
And we had fun. We were used to kind of playing to nobody at times. And it was just like, okay, paid practice. Let's go to town. And, you know, we played like we're playing the big Coliseum.
Well, but podcasting, as we bring that back to podcasting, I mean, as far as getting your word, getting the word out, and certainly in your niche, speaking at small meetup groups or events, or getting close to that, or getting your face in front of people, I think is really, really important. You got to work the community a little bit. You got to find these spaces to get in and have these conversations. So last week we had Shauna Dorsey, who runs the Web Interface School, on our Gadget Geek podcast. And it wasn't that Gadget Geek related, but it was tech related, and she had a great story. And so we told that. And Well, Shauna is her right now. Her she is super popular in Omaha. She's got that momentum going, right? Right. And so, you know, when I tweet the show this weekend, she's going to retweet that for sure. And that's going to pick up. Now, will I pick up a ton of listeners? No, one or two, but you do that a bunch. You expand your audience, you know, so it's working it.
Well, Craig says, it's like your podcast. You never know who's listening. I've had three people now that have said, I need somebody to help me with this on my show, or maybe I could do this. And I'll say, ask your audience, throw that out to the audience and go, hey, we're looking for somebody to do blank. I know Daniel from the audacitytopodcast.com for his Once Upon a Time show. One of the moderators now is a fan. And so same thing. I had somebody, Kale from Ham Radio 360, threw something out to his audience. Oh, he had a WordPress problem. And it turns out that like one of his listeners works for Automattic. And said, oh, I can fix that like that. So you never know who is listening to your show. Here's another great question. Are there tools or workflow to easily leverage content from your blog into a newsletter? The idea is to deliver an email newsletter with the least effort. I know of two. One is MailChimp, has an RSS to email tool. You basically just throw in your RSS, and every time you throw out a post, it turns it into an email. AWeber has one, and the thing I liked about AWeber's, I am really starting to kind of miss not being on AWeber anymore. I switched to ConvertKit, and I'm kind of like, you know what? Maybe I didn't think that one through. AWeber was cool because you could say, on Friday, release a newsletter based on however many posts I've done. So instead of like, here's a post, here's a newsletter, what if I just wanted to send a weekly newsletter? Well, it would look and say, okay, Dave released two posts or three posts this week and just give a summary of each with a link to the full post. That was a cool feature because I know on my blog at davidjackson.org, when I do a post, you get a newsletter. And I'm like, kind of missed that whole, what if I want to do more than one in a week kind of thing. But both those tools too also have an app. So we're talking about getting email subscribers at a booth or things like that. Or anywhere you can, I know that from being in a band, you could have an app right on your phone where it used to be back in the day, you'd walk around with a clipboard and have people sign up for your email list. And then hopefully later when you get back, you could read your chicken scratch and put them into your newsletter. Now you just have them sign up right on your app. Yeah, I actually still have a MailChimp account. In fact, if you sign up at Ask the Podcast Coach, you will get the newsletter. And I love that because right now I'm using ConvertKit. I have to manually go in, sound stupid, and copy and paste my show notes into ConvertKit to send out that, hey, there's a new episode of the School of Podcasting, and there's a lot of weeks that, because it's the last thing I do, yeah, I forget about it. So I do like the fact that that is automated. Jim, do you know of any other tools?
No, I use MailChimp, and I don't. I need to do better with my newsletter. This is an area I did it because everybody else was doing it. I gathered a couple hundred guys, and then I just have not communicated to him. It's poor. It's really bad, you know, and I get my audience. They're like, hey, when are you going to write a newsletter? And I'm like, sorry guys. I that's an area I need to work better on. I think what I'm going to do is a little Google survey and say, hey, what do you want out of this newsletter? Cause I was writing it monthly and it's just a little bit of backstory stuff that people don't get on the podcast or whatever. And I don't know if that was terribly effective. So I think I'm going to do an audience survey here. Like, hey, what do you want to hear? Or what do you want me to write? What are you looking for? And what frequency and some of those kinds of things. So I just use, and I strip down my MailChimp. I don't use any of the automated pieces. I just go in, create a really flat HTML, paste some text into it, a few links, and I send it. So I keep it pretty simple.
We have a question here about a PO box. I think mine, I got a medium-sized one. And I did the same thing that Mike Dell is talking about here at podcasthelpdesk.com. That's good old Mike. And he uses a UPS store address. Yeah, that's basically what I do. I have 24. For me, I wanted 24-hour access just because I rarely go to that. Number one, I rarely get any mail unless you want to send me a t-shirt. And
you're pimping t-shirts, Dave. Is the laundry getting behind on the laundry?
Yeah. And But I use that because for a while, because when you send an email list, you have to have an address. That's part of the anti-spam act of whatever, you know, 98. You have to have that. So for a while, when I first moved, I had my home address. And it's one of those things I'm not really worried about somebody showing up going, are you Dave Jackson? I want you. Yeah. And so I wasn't, but in the end I was never like, you never know. And I went, you know what, for $20, I will do that. Although the beautiful thing is I live in this apartment complex and nobody can, people that know my address can't find me. So that's the beauty of it. And if all else fails, I will sick my guard geese on you. Jim, what's going on with Ask the Tech Guy Coach School?
That's my new show, Ask the Tech Guy Coach thing that's going on. Now, you know, we've had a good run over at theaverageguy.tv. We have had a good run lately. When we think about interviewing, you know, we do the community interviews where we bring the guys in from the community. Those are always great. I mean, it's really awesome to have your listeners on. And I've probably got 15 or 20, maybe as many as 25 guys that I could call on at a moment's notice and say, hey, can you join me in the podcast? And many of them bought microphones. And, you know, Mike Howard's one of them. He hangs out in our community. I can have Mike on. I've invited him Friday night for a Saturday morning Ask the Podcast Coach. So literally at the drop of a hat. So it's kind of nice to have those guys. They've purchased microphones. They sound good. They kind of know what they're doing. We just had Paul Barrerin, and he's almost like a trainer, educator when it comes to technology. And man, for an hour, he just went and it was just dynamite. I didn't really have to do anything. We've also been interviewing small businesses, small organizations, startups around tech. And that's been another great source of folks to interview for us. And that has worked really, really well. You know, you think their motivation is in the right place. They are dying to get their word out of what they're doing. They'll talk to anybody. And they're off the beaten path. They're not your typical, if you listen to the big tech shows out there, you know, you hear the same people over and over and over again. And so in our niche, in this tech niche, this gives us an opportunity to interview some folks who, frankly, are in the right place to be interviewed and have the right motivation for it. So that kind of piece has worked as well. Every once in a while, I'll just do whatever I want to do. This last week when we interviewed Shauna, it was kind of more of a community podcast. She's a leader in technology here and didn't relate as much to, I know I'm going to get some feedback from the audience like, Jim, not enough gadgets, you know, in there. And you will get that. And I will politely write back to them and say, you're right. I've had that happen before, Dave. I'm sure you get feedback from your listeners and they're 100% right. You know, you're like, yep, you're right. And that email, instead of fighting them, that email I send back to him is, yes, you're right. We didn't do that. We could do better here. I appreciate your feedback. Thanks for doing that. And like I said, a lot of time they are right. So those have been, for me, those have been some things when we think about the tech, you know, doing tech podcasts and tech podcasting. I mentioned the conference pieces. I also mentioned going out, getting your face out in the community. Join the other thing is there are nonprofits, usually in every sector, there are people out there doing things in the nonprofit sector and schools and education that you can get involved in. And we all have these, we talked about this Thursday, we all have these superpowers of some kind, things that we're better at that nobody else is. You know, Dave, for you, it might be podcast, you know, teaching people to podcast. And there are people who need podcasts. And so if you're good at that, go out and help them get their podcast started and do it for nothing, a community service kind of thing. Make a service project out of it. Man, it makes you feel good. When you do it. And so whatever that is, it doesn't have to be podcasting. You don't have to go out and everybody doesn't have to go out and teach somebody to podcast, but go out and figure out a way to use your superpowers for good and get involved in your community. Get out of the chair every once in a while.
That's what I had a thing this morning in a Facebook group. I said, this does require you to get off the couch and get out of your chair. Mike Dell has a great question. What does everyone use on Android for a podcast listening app? Just got a new Android phone for work and, Back when I was using an Android, I was using BeyondPod. I liked it. It had a ton of features. Like you could tell it per podcast, like update this one once a week and keep the last XML. I mean, it had a ton of features. And once you figured them out, it was cool. We have people, Podcast Addict, Kim from Toastmasters101.net. Pocket Cast. So I'm seeing a consensus here.
So Player FM, you know, I got an email from them. They just added us to their catalog and they wanted us to promote them. I think they have a new version on Android as well. And on Android, there's tons of ways to do it. I actually, you know, we had Spreaker build that app for us because I wanted to give people one click access to the app. And so on Android and iPhone, both, we have a Home Gadget Geeks app that cost me $100. And that's the way I prefer to have them listen to it, because they can, you know, on Android, I think they can download it on, I'd have to verify that, on iPhone, they can't, which is so streaming only on Android or on iPhone, which is a little bit of a, I was kind of hoping, I've sent Rob a couple notes to say if the iPhone is ever going to let them download, that would be awesome.
I did get a new toy this week. I'll throw a link in the chat room. And because this is an audio show, I'll describe what it is. It looks kind of like a triangle with a lip on it. And what you do, it's a iPhone stand. And it's the silliest thing you've ever, like, what's a big deal? But I love the fact that, A, it's actually metal. And you set that thing up, and I can actually, like, push buttons on it and not worry about the phone flipping over. It's got a hole in the bottom of it, so you can charge it while you do that. It's $8. And the thing I loved about it, what I did last night was, and it's going to be weird to see, I was watching TV on my iPad. Like, I was watching Jimmy Fallon last night on my iPad, and it'll actually take the iPad and you could put it sideways. And it was cool because it was like I set it on my nightstand and was sitting there watching TV in bed, except I wasn't watching TV. And because I was thinking about buying another TV, and I'm like, well, I don't need another TV. If anything, I'll buy a bigger iPad. But just, and it's, I don't know why, but it just, it raises it up, I don't know, maybe an inch and a half, but it makes it super easy to see the display. And Stargate Pioneer says minor colored black instead of silver.
It's gear. It's gadgets.
It's gadgets.
Gadgetry, yeah. Gear.
And half the reason I got that is I love Amazon Prime. I mean, I don't stream music. I don't listen to movies, whatever. Free shipping, though, I'm like, I don't go to Best Buy anymore. I don't go to, you know, I actually ordered some groceries the other day. I bought, you know, a case of green beans.
On Amazon?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was like, you know what? It's cool. Just to, I
don't need them every night, Dave.
No,
Do we need to put a menu together for you? One of the things, like you, I've talked about this before, but not everybody's heard it. You know, I use a little WizGear, in this case, WizGear.com. Although you can buy them on Amazon, they're $7, super cheap. They come with a little sticky on the back, or one that you can put in between there and your case, and then bam, right? And they're designed to go in the vent covers in your car, which is kind of cool. I mean, for its intended use. What they also go on, the newer arms that for the microphone here, you know, you got this little arm thing here. These fit nicely right up inside there, and they'll pinch themselves down. And then you put that on the arm for your microphone, not without the microphone on it, put the phone on it, bam. And then you can move this thing around on the arm wherever you want it. So if you're periscoping or you want it close to you or whatever, you can have that, you can move that around, do what you want to do, and then push it back if you want. And it's just a nice, real handy way. And my monitor's in the way, so I can't. Oh, there we go. So you just stick that on there, put it up like that, and bam, there's my phone. And for Periscope, this is the perfect. This is what you want, yeah. Right? You want it right here for Periscope or whatever. Let's say Facebook Live, since they're the hottest thing in town. So $7, cool little thing. Those newer arms are $15. Don't buy the expensive ones for sure, but it's a cheap way to get. Now when I'm done, you just saw I push that back.
Yeah.
And now it's completely out of the way.
I got something like that at Target for the car that clips onto the air conditioning vent, whatever.
Yeah, same thing.
Love that thing.
Same thing. But that vent, the thing that holds into the vent, the round pieces here on most of the, you know, the holders for the mics, same size. So you can slide it right in there. It'll just grab to it and then stick the phone right. And it'll work for a variety of things. I'm not sure I would put an iPad on it. That might be a little large to get it done. I got the mic arm at Amazon. They're newer, NEEWER. They're $15. They're super cheap. They're not great, right? They are, when you move them around, they kind of go, you know, if you're going to use a microphone one live, I would go with the Rode or the,
right.
The
and of course, aisle. You can find that over at bestpodcastinggear.com, which of course is Dave's Amazon store. I've got a whole bunch of stuff like that, but yeah, that's
me. I do recommend, by the way, if you're going to do an arm, I would go with the more expensive ones. We've tested out the cheaper ones in longevity. Like I've bought them and sent them to hosts, and they've used them over the years. they don't last very long. If you think, if you just want to send a cheap one, do it. Those $15 ones are okay. But man, they break fast and they are loud. And so I would not, that would not be my recommendation to go cheap on the arm.
So I've been lucky. This one's a cheapie.
The cheap newer?
It's not a cheap newer, but it's a cheap newer type. Yeah. Newer was around when I bought this, but.
I hear those, the springs, because the springs are on the outside. That's the most important, the springs. Yeah. And that's what we hear the most. I also have a, that's not too bad.
Yeah, so far so, yeah.
I have a host that keeps smacking that. He keeps smacking the springs.
Yeah.
And they go, boing, 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 boing.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah, they kind of, on the cheap newer ones, they sound terrible. So, yes, they're $15, but they're terrible. Spend the $100 and upgrade and get a better one.
Yeah, I do love the fact that when I'm done, I just move my mic out of the way, and it's that I love, as opposed to, I remember when I first started, I had an actual stand, like a stand you would use on stage. With a big, boom arm and that, but the feet on those things are really wide too, because they're tall. They can be. And so, and cables were everywhere and it was like, ugh. So, hey, before I forget, we do want to thank Andy Sokolovich, Dale Henninger, Frank Brill, Rob Griffiths, Mike at ADHD Think Tank, Corey from Ivy Envy, who I just got his picture, Ed Bubbero, Jim Collison, Gary and Margaret over in New Zealand, Jason Bryan, who I just got his picture, David Wilson, The Seahawkers Podcast, Craig from Inglaze Podcast, Glenn from Horse Radio Network, and of course, Cody Saison.
It was funny last week when you tried to do that with the, and I forget the name of
Aaron. Aaron Dowd, yes.
Are you sure? Because
I butchered his name twice at the beginning.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for filling in for me.
He's a good kid. And that was exactly, I had listened to his show. He always brings things that I'm like, I never thought of LinkedIn and podcasting. And I just thought, let's see what happens.
LinkedIn is super hot right now. If you're not, this is LinkedIn a year ago is worthless. Yeah. And it has come on. They have done some things over there. And you will absolutely do not take your family talk over to LinkedIn. You will absolutely get beat down if you try to make LinkedIn Facebook. The LinkedIn folks are like, do not make this. Do not make this thing Facebook. So don't take your pictures of your kids and the cat videos and all that stuff. People don't want cute posts on LinkedIn. They're looking for business oriented, or they're trying to. You will get smacked down. Mike Phillips said groups are dying. I actually have two groups that are growing right now, and they're growing like crazy on LinkedIn. This is a weird thing. I would have said that a year ago. I would have agreed and said, yeah, boy, there's nothing. All of a sudden, man, in the last 6 months, things are exploding over there. And so that's another area to post. My podcast actually almost get better engagement on LinkedIn right now than they do on Facebook, which is crazy. So
interesting.
You can't ignore LinkedIn right now. I can't say it's always going to be that way, but right now it's hot.
Yeah. I know for a while LinkedIn groups were awesome for podcasting, and now I rarely check them. And when I do, it's usually somebody pimping some sort of gear or
what? Who's that? I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that.
LinkedIn groups used to be really good. There were a couple of really good podcasting groups who have kind of moved to Google groups now. My favorite question that I just want to go, let me Google that for you, is does anybody know a good show on blank? So if somebody goes, does anybody know a good show where I could learn Spanish? Which I kind of get, but I'm like, can't you just Google that? I mean, really? Because it's usually something very specific. Does anybody know if there's a podcast about Dale Earnhardt Jr.? I don't know. Let me Google that for you. It's like, ugh. So
there's that site. There's that site where it's something like Google it for you, or something.com or something. And you go there and you put in the term and then you copy the URL and it takes them to Google and then it puts the search term in for them and hit submit. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
It is, Dave, I get that in our community too, in our strengths community, where people, because they know I'm the go-to guy, and it's just so much easier to say, can you do it for me? That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Can you do it for me? I appreciate it when they say, you know what, I Googled for this and I couldn't find anything.
Right.
Could you, right? I appreciate that. But oftentimes, this is really bad in the Facebook groups on Facebook for podcasters right now, where we're getting, you know, because podcasters getting so popular, we're getting a lot of new podcasters in there, and they're not taking any time to track anything down. My favorite one is, I know this has probably been said before, but, and you're like, well, you know, I know I'm going to ignore and annoy you with this sentence, but, and you're like, if you're going to type that, do the research.
Yeah, there's a search button in the upper right-hand corner, which is hilarious.
This is why we have these groups, so that people don't have to say the same things over and over and over again. But it's still, nobody wants to look.
Yeah, and I know that's another one. I know the rules say I shouldn't do this, but just in case, So
poor Mike Phillips, when the Google groups were big, and you know they're kind of dying now too. Everybody was trying to do self-advertising, and Mike was just whacking people out of there, you know, left and right. He finally just gave, and he's like, "Hey, here's a one-time exception," which he never really took down, in for self-promotion for these purposes. But yeah, it's always like, I know these are the rules, I'm going to break them.
Yeah. With that said, there are no stupid questions here, though. You can ask whatever question you want.
We get the best questions always right here. The best audience.
It just dawned on me. I'm like, I'm sitting here going,
it's just a little frustrating sometimes.
At times. So I should, as much as we started late, unfortunately, at podcastingpuzzle.com. I have a webinar today. If you are a person who goes, you know, I was going to ask a question, I just didn't want to look stupid, I've set a place for podcasting 101 questions. If you go to podcastingpuzzle.com, I'll be sending out a link with that. Oh, we're getting all the questions now. Should I get a Blue Yeti? What's your ranking?
We could do a post on all these questions alone. You know, what do you think of Facebook Live? What do you think of Blab?
I'm actually pondering. I'm going to give Blab one more week. If I go in next week and I can't get in, but if we go back to Hangouts on Air, now we're back to the phone, and I'm like, ugh.
Nah, let's just keep going. It'll be fine. Yeah. Just start earlier.
Yeah, I will.
I mean, I'm always out here half an hour early. So if you know, if we want to jump in early and have some pre-show, we could do that.
Yeah.
I think we should. This I think we got to keep trying. They're going to fix it eventually. It's going to be good eventually.
Yeah, I know. I will say kudos to Daniel from the Audacity to Podcast. Because remember how we always had two? Now this week we couldn't find the one I made. That was weird. But when you make a Blab, a lot of times it will go back like it didn't work, and it did. So it was like making the Blab the second time looked like that was the one that worked, and it turns out the first one did. That's why I always had two Blabs, and I was always in the other one. And so it did it this week, so I knew to go back, look at it, get the link, that whole nine yards. It just, when I logged in today, it said my next Blab was the one from last month, which is
was weird. Yeah, it was a weird thing.
So I just got, you just got to pay attention now if you're using Blab. So, but you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. Find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Registration starts back open June 1st. And if you're brand new to podcasting, go over to podcastingpuzzle.com. And we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.